welcome to the Brew the Truth podcast. Today is episode 11. You got our hosts here, Dull Oxide and Drunk Joe.
Yo.
You can find all of our previous episodes on the Drinking Wise Men YouTube channel, along with my 3 to 4 times a week podcast, Perfectly Wasted. So tonight I am drinking Sam Adams Golden Hour, which is part of their summer pack, I believe. And it looks like Joe over there's got Modelos.
Modelo. Mm. Especial.
How he makes all the ladies feel.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so for our first segment here today.
Whoa, slow down. You don't want to, like, you know, how are you doing this week? You know, like, how are things going?
So for our first segment here this week, we want to talk a little bit about remastered games. There's been a lot of remastering happening, both in Hollywood and in the game industry, and almost everywhere, actually. You're seeing a lot of different trends come back recently that haven't been in existence for, you know, 20, 30 years. Fashion trends all over the place. You know, it seems like the EDC scene and stuff has really blown up with a lot of older fashion trends. But today, we're just going to talk about remastered games.
Yeah, POTS even... Wait, what? We can't deviate at all from this one topic?
Maybe slightly.
That's all I can talk about.
I mean, maybe slightly. So, I
you
just
know what
took
they should remaster?
Your face?
The Show.
Yeah.
All right, that was good. So no, the movie The Shadow. Remember that shit? The Shadow Knows.
Yeah, did you ever watch the, or did you ever listen to the actual radio show?
No, I think my dad told me about that, though.
Yeah, my dad was, like, super into radio, so he made us listen to it. But it was actually pretty interesting. And I agree, that'd be a really cool movie to remake, especially now that they could do all the CG and shit that they actually needed to do in the original.
Yeah, they could get Brendan Fraser to play an enemy. Ha ha. All right. So remastered games. The ones you got the pictures on there, I actually did like the Skyrim remaster because it added a lot of shading effects and everything, but
yeah.
I still can't get through the game, to be honest. Like, I try. I really like it. I tried to get through it. I tried it twice with the original and once with the remaster, and I got to a spot in the main story where, like, I found the place where the final battle, I think, is going to happen, and I just kind of got bored.
Yeah.
And I killed some dragon up top where the old shout guys are, and I just got bored. I just, like, forgot what was happening, and
I got to a similar part in Fallout 4 where I pretty much knew what the end storyline was going to be. I got to the point where I was, like, basically, like, one step before finishing the game, and I was like, wait, that's it? Like, I just wasn't interested anymore. I've actually never played any of the BioShocks, but the collection is supposed to be the fully remastered version.
I tried to play BioShock 1, and I feel like it's really stupid. I was like maybe, I don't know, 20 or something. I should have been able to figure this one out.
Yeah.
But, like, I got to the first, like, there was this ice wall, and, like, apparently you're supposed to have this, like, fire ability to knock the ice wall down. It's like the very first puzzle you come across. And had no idea how to do it.
And, you know, like, I didn't know. Like, I watched the preview for the BioShock collection, and the graphics in it looked really different from what I had seen in, like, the newest BioShock, where they've got, like, so it was really, like, cartoonish looking. And
it was BioShocking.
Yeah, it was quite BioShocking, if you will. But, yeah, so that was a little bit different than I expected. It makes me kind of curious to go and play through the games, but I mean, I really wish I had time for anything besides, like, Diablo and Overwatch, but I don't really seem to. So Crash Bandicoot, of course, being re-released, and
God, I fucking hate those games.
I think the reason that they're doing that is just to see if they can make another Crash game and if people will buy it.
Of course they're gonna buy it. Like, those, for some reason, those platformers are, like, so loved by the people that played them. I mean,
yeah,
platformers for me start and end with Mario, I'm pretty sure. And I played Contra.
I love playing Mario. And
yeah, but that's it. There isn't any other ones that, like, I care about.
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
unless you count Zelda 2.
I mean, I like all the Mega Man games, so.
Oh, well, okay. Mega Man X was, like, very special place in my heart. We're deviating very, very far.
I mean, not so much, because I'd really love for them to remaster that game or any of the Mega Mans. And the last that we have of the photos here, which we'll just branch off from them afterwards, is let me see if I can read this whole title. Kingdom Hearts HD 2.8 Final Chapter Prologue.
Oh, it looked like a 2 infinity or something. Okay, 2.8, that makes no sense. They're going from like Roman to Arabic numbers, like
if you look it up, you can look up Kingdom Hearts 2.8, and one of the photos that comes up if you image search it is the time frame for how all the 2-point games are supposed to take place in, and it's just retarded looking. Mm. So, I just stop making Kingdom Hearts games that aren't Kingdom Hearts 3.
I remember being really interested in the first one and the second one, but I never played it because I never had that game. But I knew from friends that really liked it. Yeah. The storyline seemed pretty contrived, though. I don't know. It might be fun mechanically to play, but I never got into it story-wise.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. I think it's just like a relatively easy RPG that has lovable characters in it. And honestly, like when you were talking about Skyrim, I can't remember the last RPG that I played through that I finished like all the way and felt super happy with. Honestly, like I think it was
Fantasy
probably
3.
Grandia 2 on Dreamcast, which was got to be like 20 years ago now, at least.
Final Fantasy 3, baby.
Yeah, I'd never played Final Fantasy 3 through.
Although I will say Chrono Trigger is still my favorite RPG of all time. So
you know what? I did enjoy watching. Seeing people play Chrono Trigger, it seemed like it was a fun game, but I just couldn't really get into it. Like, you know what? Actually, I guess I would say the Pokemon games are kind of technically RPG.
Yeah, that's true. I'd say that they're an RPG. Yeah.
I finished those. I haven't finished one recently, but
you role play as a faggot.
No, I mean he's got a girl interest now. So,
oh well, now it's all heteronormative.
Sure. But yeah.
Anyway, so my remasters that are not really upsetting to me, but they're special to me, are the LucasArts games, the old LucasArts point and click games.
Well, name one. Give me a name.
Full Throttle.
Okay.
Have you heard that?
That's being remade this year, isn't it?
I'm pretty sure it's already done. Hmm. But yeah, so they're redoing like graphics and stuff. And Full Throttle was really cool because it was the first game that I found out when I played it, like, I think when it came out, actually, or a couple of years after. It's the first game that I started to realize that Mark Hamill was a voice actor. Hmm. And he was a voice actor in that game. He was also a voice actor for Joker in the animated series, the original animated series.
I think he does a great job at it, actually.
He's the best. He's really, really good voices. And, like, you don't even know it's him. That's probably why he did it in the first place, is because everybody would, you know, oh, look, it's Mark Hamill, oh my god. But yeah, no, I love Full Throttle. I think it's one of the funnier games in their lineup, especially when there's this point at the end, toward the end of the game, where you're like setting these electronic bunnies, like these wind-up toys, across a minefield. And so, like, in order to get the bunnies, you like have to distract somebody, and then you go into to this booth after you distract somebody, and the way you steal them looks really funny, and then he says, now it's just me and the bunnies. It's just really funny moments like that. And then Day of the Tentacle, which is really, really silly game, which I played all the way through. I have to admit, I did beat the game a long time ago. I'd never beat the original, but you can play the original in the second game, which was always cool. Hmm. Yeah, like you find a computer in the mansion in one of the time periods in the game, and you can just boot up Manic Mansion. It's pretty funny.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. But so they remade the game, and I bought it, but I played it like for 10 minutes, and I was like, oh, this is so cool. And then I never touched it after that. But they're great games. I wish I had the attention span for them any longer, but I do not.
Yeah, I went through and I bought Castlevania a couple weeks back, and I played it for, you know, maybe like 4 or 5 hours, just like really broken up play and stuff, and was trying to be all like good at it and shit, but I put that down again. I'd love to see a new Castlevania game, but we just know that's not gonna happen, which is why I was excited for Bloodstained.
Is that the anime?
No, the Castlevania anime, the series that's on Netflix right now, I haven't actually watched it.
Oh, neither have I.
There's only like four episodes in this first
Everybody
season.
Everybody says it's really good, though.
I imagine it probably is. But yeah. Also, getting remastered, I think, currently or throughout this year, is the Resident Evil series, which sounds really cool. So all the original Resident Evil games are going to be remastered.
Or are they going to do the voice really acting, too? Because that shit was nasty.
Yeah, it's pretty
bad. I don't mean the quality of voice acting. I mean, like, the quality of the sound files that they use in the game. They're all, like, staticky. If they have the original audio and they redo that, too, that would be worthwhile. But,
yeah, I mean, they're pretty cool. I mean, but yeah. I don't know what all, like, overall, I think they just take what they have and they just, like, buff it up. But it'd be cool to do that. I'd really, really, really love to see them either make a new or remaster the Parasite Eve games. Because those are
perfect
horror genre games.
Dude, I forgot about that game.
Like, you just don't see that kind of, like, shit anymore. And if
it was such an ingenuitive combat style. Like, yeah. You can mod. I mean, it was like the first game that I remember. You could take a gun apart, put a bunch of different mods onto it, and then you're like running around like it's a RPG, and then whoop, sphere of influence shooting bubble. It's like, this is the coolest combat I've ever seen, you know, at that point in time.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not real time. I mean, it was great. What a fantastic game. I wish they would do a remaster.
It'd be fucking awesome if they did it. But so far, the cutscenes
could use some work, too, though.
So far, we get these games that are making a shit ton of money and, you know, Crash, which I guess I wouldn't say makes a shit ton of money. But, yeah, remastered, not happening. But, oh, well, I guess we'll have to see where it goes. Like, if maybe we get some better remastered games here in the future. Because it's starting to... Everything's rebooting. That's...
Well, hold on. Let's center here. Do you not agree that remastered games are cash grabs?
Oh, no. I totally agree. They're cash grabs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there's stuff that I'd be willing to pay for that they haven't come out with.
That's the stuff they won't do.
Yeah. So... That's just the way it is. Yeah. So that's remastered games, guys. We're going to go on to segment two here. So
segment two.
Here our second segment is something that we've deemed unpopular apps. And I guess the easiest way to say this is applications on our phones that aren't necessarily popular, but that we use.
They're not getting the attention they deserve. That's why.
Sure, that sounds good. They're not getting the attention they deserve. Why don't you start with yours while I drink my beer?
Yeah, so on the right side, you'll see this red and blue show of hands thing. And I became interested in it, I think, around the second presidential election of Obama, I want to say. And, God, have I had this phone that long? Jeez. The thing that drew me to it was that you didn't have to, like, I don't know about you, but I've never really been polled ever in my life. You know, even though polls are accurate after you get like 1,000 people in random places, whatever, nobody has like an actual house phone. And if anybody could show us how inaccurate polls are, it's this last presidential election.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, seriously, only old people have house phones. They won't poll people with cell phones, and everybody has a cell phone. So this is a way for me to get in my opinion, a more live personal look at what people's opinions are, and they throw some silly questions in there too, but show of hands, yeah. And they just ask random stuff, like one of the questions recently was, do you think that you're legitimately smarter than Trump? And the other question was, do you think you're legitimately smarter than Obama? Right? And it was really interesting, because people that thought they were smarter than Obama was only 30%, mm-hmm. and people that thought they were smarter than Trump was 55%. So
that sounds pretty.
So, but the interesting thing is not that you see just those numbers. You can, as soon as you see a question you care about, you can click into it and see the demographics of the people that disagree or agree with you.
Oh, interesting. So you have to make a profile and everything before you
answer. You don't have to make a profile. I mean, it helps. You know, yeah. You say what your race is if you feel comfortable with it, your religious affiliation if you feel comfortable with it, your registered or unregistered the party that you identify with most. Your age and in your income range.
So can you
and your education
can you submit questions or
there are people that submit questions. I don't know if I can or not. I haven't really tried, but I just answer the main. There's a bunch of like sub show of hands that I don't mess with. I just go with the main one. But they throw some silly ones in there. Like they had like a pizza versus hot dogs one at one point. You know, little things, or hamburgers for hot dogs. Little things like that. Yeah, I think it's really fun. And just every once in a while, I find myself in a situation where I am bored out of my mind and like at the DMV or something, and boom, I answer like 100 show of hands questions, well, more like 20. But yeah, no, it's really good fun. And then diving into it and showing, you know, the wife or a friend, like, oh my God, can you believe, you know, all these idiots think this? You know,
yeah, does it tell you the amount of people that they have utilizing it to vote?
Yeah, well, they say, you know, this versus this. It's like 460 results or something like that. So yeah, you have an idea of the total scope of.
Is it usually a pretty low number because this is an unpopular app?
So. I don't think it's a very popular. I mean, I haven't seen more than a couple thousand on there. So
okay, all right.
Yeah, on any question. So
I kind of if you go and you look, mine actually is something that everyone probably knows and has used before, at least on the computer. It's Google Translate. But if you go and you look in like the App Store, Google Translate has like no reviews on it, nothing on it, pretty much, and now, I understand Google is extraordinarily popular, but the specific feature in the Google Translate app that I think is very, very underrated in this case is it has an ability from an application called WordLens that they got taken over by Google. They incorporated it into this new Google Translate app.
So there was an app already out there, and Google liked it, so they bought the company.
So what it is that you can use your camera to point it at foreign text or a language that you don't recognize, and if you have it set to, let's just say you set it from Spanish to English, which is pretty common in America, you know, you set it to that and you hold your phone up and you can look at a sign or a menu and it'll
translate. How far away are we talking? Like, do you have to be within spitting distance?
No, it's just got to be able to read it. So as long as the text is readable, it'll try and translate it.
Well, okay, so I'm driving in the car and I'm in a different country.
Sure.
I see a road sign and I'm holding my phone up the whole way. I pass the road sign.
It'll instantly try to translate it. However, if you take a photo of it, you can highlight the text that you're trying to translate and it can translate it right then. But it's on the fly attempting to translate it the entire time. It's just you probably wouldn't want to. First off, you shouldn't be driving and holding your phone up. Come on.
No, but like the navigator, Joe. You know, in the passenger
yeah,
seat.
Yeah, no,
he's got the phone up or something.
The thing is that with most of those signs, you already know what they are because the majority of signs, especially on driving on the freeway, are the similar or same shapes, regardless of what country you're in. You know what they are going to mean. But if you're in a different country, you're probably not driving with signs you're unfamiliar with. In other words, if you're going over, you know, 30 miles an hour, 40 miles an hour, I doubt you'd be able to have it recognized very easily. But, I mean, for instance, I've got some Japanese figures here with some Japanese text on the boxes, and it translates those pretty awesomely. Like, right away, I just kind of, like, hold my phone over it, and it gets it very well. A lot more than I could translate off of it, for damn sure. And it's a function that I think people don't really know about. Like, so, if you think
hold on. So when you hold it over top, like, does it overlay
it
the
overlays
word on
words.
Top?
Yeah.
Like, where the other one is? Mm-hmm. Like,
it tries its best to take the same sizing as the word that it's translating.
Well, yeah, but I mean, Japanese characters, there's no way that it would take up the same amount of space. So, like,
you'd think so, but it does a pretty good job. And, my suggestion would be just to, it's a small app, download it. The only thing that you kind of get a little bit far away on. No, it's just if you're going to use the camera function, you have to download a text library, basically. And that could be like 40 or 50 megs, depending on what language you're using.
But you don't have to log in.
No, you don't have to log in.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
My biggest suggestion would be like download it, get like the Spanish to English one or, you know, go somewhere that has Spanish on it and hold it up and see how good it works because it's pretty fucking phenomenal. It can do it off of your monitor also is the other thing because it's just text. So as long as your phone camera can read the text, it'll try and translate it for you and it's pretty fucking phenomenal at it. But again, they took the feature from an app called WordLens and that was very not very much used at the time, but it was a suggested app maybe like 7 or 8, I want to say maybe like 6 or 7 years ago. Not wow. 7 or 8. 6 or 7 years ago, I saw it as an app that people had suggested getting that was like a useful app. And when I tried it, I was just astonished at how good it is. And it seems like it's even better now that it's on Google Translate. So, you know, definitely check it out. You should check it out because I think you really would enjoy it. But and in fact, you have a foreign beer right in front of you, so maybe you could translate something on the bottle. But
foreign beer?
Modelo.
Oh.
But
There's nothing in Mexican on this.
It's not Mexican, you fuck.
I assure you, Modelo isn't a Mexican beer.
It's Spanish, asshole.
No, it's not Spanish. Spain is a different country altogether, you racist.
So anyways, I think we digress here. So let's go ahead and so these two apps, maybe check them out if you got some time, guys. We're going to move on to our third and final segment.
Oh, yeah. Coming at you.
So our third and final segment here is healthcare. And
No. Our third segment is motherfucking healthcare.
Motherfucking healthcare is our third segment.
Healthcare.
All right.
Motherfucking healthcare.
Now, this might go a little bit over. If it does go over, we're going to end up editing it out, but we will have a full version of it so that you can listen to and watch it later if it does go over our segment time, which is usually about 10 minutes.
Slash rant.
Additionally, Joe and I already talked a little bit about this, and we're just going to try and like cut the shit of what we already agree on for some things.
What?
But basically, to cut it short, who do you think is responsible for the current state of healthcare in the United States, Joe?
Oh my God, there's so many people.
A nice, short, simple. And don't go into my answer because we already talked on this, so you know my answer already.
You're giving. I don't like the chains you're putting on me. No, I don't like it. I feel constricted. Feel restricted. It's almost like the kind of regulations that are put on healthcare by the motherfucking government.
So your overall answer is going to be that it's the government, and
sort of, yeah.
Yeah, and that's my overall answer too. My more specific answer is I think that it's you know, corporations, insurance companies, doctors who are currently responsible for how bad the state of healthcare is in the United States right now. But,
all right, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
You put out 20 pounds of food, okay, on the floor, and then you let your dogs out. Do you blame the dogs or do you blame yourself for dying from overeating?
Wow, they got, like, really fucking morbid really
that's
fast.
What happens. If you leave food out for a dog, they will eat themselves to death. Well, some of them will.
So, yeah. I mean, there's a couple problems with the little analogy.
There's nothing wrong with the analogy.
I mean, 20 pounds of food, and you said multiple dogs. So, no, that there's a problem. But
infinity
at the same time,
pounds
who is responsible for that? I'd say that that's on me, the owner.
Right. And so in this analogy, the dogs are the doctors and the insurance companies, and the owner is, well, one, the American people, and two, the government. You know, the American people is responsible for the government. So, yeah.
I mean, but Trump already says he's not going to own this.
Trump, that's a whole other topic, man. Like, Trump, like.
But no, I could see how this is not the best parallel, but I understand.
One of the best parallels you'll ever hear.
Sure.
Make maybe a better one right now.
Right now.
Right now. Make a better one.
Yeah, I'm not going to try. It's going to waste time.
Exactly.
So that being said, something that I think we could both agree on is...
Why do you want to agree all the time? Come on, man.
Okay, well, I personally would love for government to pay for my insurance for me. That sounds awesome to me.
I would like you to suck dick and have the government never pay for any of your fucking insurance. In fact, wasn't it you that was saying we don't even get to pick what we buy? And you're like complaining like, well, we don't even get to pick what the tax dollars are being used on.
Oh, yes. Yes,
well,
that's exactly an argument.
To not pay taxes for this shit.
And I agree. I think we pay too much taxes for the amount of control that we have over the things that our taxes pay.
You never get control over what your taxes are paid for. That's Not the point of taxes.
I think that we should have some control over these things.
No. You only get control. Okay, so you vote, and that tells the representatives that we put in power what we care about. But we already know that they don't do
care about that.
Exactly. We know that they don't do that.
So,
which is the only solution is to take away the money that they can misspend.
Okay, well, I mean, like, here's my problem is we spend so much money already on things that the majority, I would say, I haven't looked at polls, but I'd say the majority don't understand how much money we spend on different plans in the government. I'd
different
say the majority,
plans? What do you mean different plans?
Any different plan. Like, for instance, we'll just go down the list on spending. So, for instance, I love watching like Parks and Rec, but does anyone do you actually know how much money we spend on Parks and Recreation for the United States?
Less than handouts.
You think it's less than the welfare handouts, whether it be food stamps?
I know for a fact it is less than welfare and handouts because those account for most, is the single largest category of thing that we give money away for.
You say give money away. So
So
we're only counting things like libraries, parks and recreations,
libraries,
welfare.
That's not giving money away. That's adding a service to a community.
Okay, so is parks and recreation.
Yeah.
So you say giving money away. I'd
talking
actually
about, like,
also
welfare.
Somewhat argue that some forms of welfare also give to the community. But
no, they don't. Have you ever met a bum?
Yeah, I have.
Have you ever had a friend that asked you for money and they never pay you back?
Yeah.
Well, now take out the friend part. Do you ever think that there's a chance in hell they would ever pay you back?
No, of course not.
Exactly. That's what the government does. They give money to lowlifes that will never pay them back.
I mean, let's be fair. Not everyone that gets money is a lowlife.
I didn't say that.
You just blanket statemented it. You said they give money to lowlifes.
No, I said what are the chances that he's going to pay it back?
But that's the thing, is that there is no repayment plan inside of here. Like, if
exactly
the government,
the
if
the problem.
If government was giving out loans, that's one thing. But it's not loans.
They do
it's
give out
welfare.
Loans.
Welfare.
They give out student loans, and guess how fast theirs are paid back. There's a reason that they have to make the
slow. But
extremely slow.
Yeah, but the reason that they have them is because
you can't afford college.
This. Yeah, but also, like, we spend, and I'm pretty sure you're going to see differently on this, but we spend a ridiculous amount of money for the United States to have military, and their military up to whatever the highest standard that they decided is.
Yes, we do spend a lot of money on military. However, we spend more money giving away money to people that don't deserve
it. I'd have to see numbers on that, man.
No, 100%. It is not arguable. It is 100% fact. We give more money away to ourselves and to other nations than we spend on the military.
Oh, to other... Okay, yeah. If you're saying, like...
No, you don't even have to... No, I don't even have to include that. I don't even have to include that. We give money to our own citizens in the form of benefits. Medicaid, Medicare, any type of welfare, food stamps. What else is there?
There's tons.
Unemployment. Well, yeah. Unemployment's not... Exactly.
No, unemployment
same,
you pay into. That's a little different.
Well, it's only different in that you have paid into it separately from taxes.
Yeah.
It's not different in the fact that the
and
government
also, you
take
remember,
the money out
we
without
pay,
paying it back.
We've been paying in since we were old enough to work.
And
as
we'll
long
never
as we
get
weren't.
It back.
Yeah, for Social Security, for all these things, Medicaid, Medicare, all this, we've paid
yeah, but
into.
The problem isn't necessarily that we paid into those things and then we get them later. The problem is that the government never left the fucking money in those funds. They took the money out of those funds and they said, we'll get you back later, and they never fucking did. That's what pisses me off about those.
Well, I'm in the same boat as you are because we're around the same age, but at the same time, you know, like, what are we going to do about it?
This is what should happen. Well, for those things that you know, we pay into all our lives and then we never see a dime of because it's going to be gone by the time we're that old,
yeah,
we should be able to opt out of whatever government program we don't care about and not pay into it and then not get the benefit later on. Mm-hmm. We should be able to choose, okay? The problem is, as soon as you choose, it takes away power from the government, which they shouldn't have in the fucking first place, and then they don't have power and they don't like that. So this is the problem with the government. They use force to take things from you, and then they redistribute it to other people without your permission. Okay, I don't want to loan Jerry the bum $30, so I'm not going to do it. But if I have to give the government money at gunpoint, and that's what taxes are, giving money at gunpoint, because they'll put you in prison if you don't do it, then they're going to take my money and then give it to Jerry. And they might even give him more than $30. I don't know. And here's the problem with that. It disassociates charity from the personal relationship, okay?
Well, I mean,
let's just say there's no government charity at all, okay? Let's just say there is.
So your problem is with spending is what it is. The way that they're spending the money that you're using on taxes.
Well,
or that you're paying.
First of all, there always will be a problem. If you give money to a government, they will spend it improperly because it's not their own money.
Yeah.
And I mean, the people that we elect don't see it as their own money because they're not responsible. And I don't expect that, but okay. I just expect them to take less of it.
So then my question to you would instead be, if your choice was to pay the taxes that you pay now and get health care added in from that.
False dilemma.
Why is it a false dilemma?
Because it doesn't have to happen. There are not only two options in this.
No, but I'm giving you two options. I give you more than two options, but in this instance, I'm going to say if your options are to get health care that is going to be given to every citizen that is a legal citizen of the United States, let's say. Okay.
Pipe dream.
Or that your money goes through to all these different bums, as you're calling Jerry. You say Jerry the bum? All the Jerrys that are out there, which would you rather have?
But they both are happening.
You could choose. I mean, not really, because not everyone in the United States has.
It's not only a false dilemma. They don't depend on each other. There's no reason for us to give either to either. I don't need health care from the government. I need the health care that I pick with my own dollars.
Okay.
Well, if I don't want it, then I don't want it. If I want it, then I want a certain quality. Then I'll buy a certain quality.
Okay, so then we'll throw in your option then, which was I could choose to opt out. So,
well, then duh, I would opt out.
Perfect. So you
and
opt
so
out.
Would most of America, by the way.
Okay, and that's perfectly fine. I'd be okay with paying the taxes that I'm paying now and getting free health care.
It's not free. You just said I'd be okay paying more
now,
taxes and getting something for
that's
free.
That's not how I mean it.
Exactly what you said.
Yeah, you're right. That's what I said. But the way I mean it is that the current tax rate that I am paying currently that is not getting me anything right now in my
eyes.
Well,
it's getting you roads and...
Those are state taxes. That's not necessarily the same thing.
Well, interstates aren't state taxes, but okay, go ahead.
So to maintain the current level of tax that I am paying, and right. In addition to maintaining that, have health care.
Right.
Or to opt out, or to be where we're at right now, basically. I'd much rather – I mean – given those options, I'd take one of the two. I'd take either the opt-out or I'd take the one.
It's not a realistic option because as soon as people start opting out, which, I mean, basically happened with Obamacare, let's be honest, there's going to be less available funds to cover the people that would take the quote-unquote free health care. By the way, right now, you don't get free health care. You have to pay to get the level of care like a silver or a gold or a bronze package.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not going to ask you whether you have done any of those, but based on your income.
Not that I can't. I'm not because I work for an entity that gives me insurance.
Yeah, right.
So I don't really have to worry about that option.
But let's just say, that's a good question. When's the last time you actually went to the doctor?
The beginning of the year. January?
And when's the last time you used the doctor for any meaningful purpose?
I mean, I'm planning on trying to get an eye doctor appointment this weekend.
That's not covered.
Yeah, but I mean, that's okay. That's eye insurance. That's different. You're right. I would say that that's kind of what they're banking on with these insurance plans was that the younger and healthier generation, for instance, doesn't need as much care. Or, I mean,
which
in
is
this
why
case,
they'll buy less of it. Like, this is what's so stupid about it. If you don't need something, you don't fucking buy it. If I go to a grocery store,
I think you're in the minority there, motherfucker. All right.
No, no. If you go to the grocery store and you don't need to buy a pound of sugar, are you going to buy a pound of sugar just in case somebody says, can I borrow some sugar?
Are you for fucking real? This is America where the majority of the population is fucking obese. All right.
Yeah, no, but you're missing my point. Like, do you use sugar a lot?
Doesn't matter.
It does matter.
I don't use it practically ever.
Okay, that's perfect then. Would you go to the store and buy a 10-pound bag of sugar just in case somebody wanted to borrow some? Or would you wait until you needed the sugar and then bought some?
Well, it depends. I mean,
it depends on what?
How much the sugar is.
Let's say the sugar is $1,000.
Okay, it's $1,000 for – I mean, there's a couple of reasons that this is not a good comparison. For one –
That's a beautiful comparison.
For one, you're saying it's $1,000. Let's just say that it's $1 per pound because that's pretty.
It's about what it is.
Sure. So $1 per pound.
Cheaper than that, but sure.
So if I need 10 pounds, that's $10. But if for some reason they were offering 10 pounds for $5, then I would consider buying.
Have you ever seen a 2-for-1 deal on a medical operation?
Yes.
No, you haven't.
Yeah, LASIK.
Fuck off.
Yeah, fuck you, bitch. I am so right.
No, this is a perfect example. No, actually, you brought in the best example. Guess what isn't covered by any health insurance? LASIK surgery. No, you have to buy that on the open market.
That's not true. LASIK is covered as long as it isn't, strictly speaking, cosmetic. So if it is something that
it's an elective surgery.
No. If it's something,
it is.
No, I'm telling you, insurance companies will cover it as long as you aren't getting it, strictly speaking, cosmetically. So if the reason that you're getting it is because it's going to overall increase the capability of your eyes, for instance, then they're going to give it to you because it's within the terms of your insurance. But if your eyesight isn't bad enough to quite yield.
Okay. 2 points. Most insurance companies will not. Most plans will not. And those specials probably don't count for insurance dollars. They probably
only count for real dollars. Those specials don't.
Okay.
But
so
you brought up the best point.
Yes, but you brought up the best point ever, which is that when anything medical is controlled by the free market, we get 2-for-1 deals. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful example, and thank you for bringing it up. I'd kiss you if you were here.
So, that being said, the entire reason that we're even talking about this is because recently I just have
Trump
started
reading and Obamacare.
The Trump care Obamacare shit is just completely fucking out of hand. And personally, I think that Trump's current position of, oh, well, I can't get what I want, so we're just going to let it fail – seems extraordinarily childish.
It seems petty. But, I agree.
But also, I totally agree. Besides that, it's just like, I kind of feel, I honestly, like, I didn't like the idea of him, like, demeaning it and things like that. I think that it has done some good. I know we'll disagree on that, but it has done some good.
The amount of good that it does is overshadowed by the amount of lives that it ruins.
So,
with the amount of money that it costs.
I said, you know, we're going to disagree on this, but he's really not following through with one of the main things that his campaign was meant to bring for us, which was to get rid of the Affordable Care Act.
I totally think he should. I don't think he should replace it with anything. I think we should just say, you know what, government? You suck with health care. Get the fuck out of health care and let the market do its work. Now, there are problems with that right now. Just going to, like, let's say Comcast.
Mm-hmm.
The government has something to do with Comcast. And I got to be more clear about this. When the government gets involved in a business and says they're going to fix it, they never fucking fix it. There's been one time in history that's ever happened, and it was when they broke up the telecommunications companies, Ma Bell, and it said you have to split, and it became like Sprint and AT&T and some other shit, and that was a good thing, I think. I mean, I wasn't alive during that time, but I think that was a good.
I don't think that overall they've done very much good by being in, by having control over the things that they have control over. But at the same time, just, I think that if we had a little bit more opportunity to be heard on what our tax dollars should be spent on, that could resolve a lot of the problems that you and I are talking about right now.
I could not agree with you more on that. And there was a study out in Princeton a few years back that stated that the laws that get passed have no actual correlation with what people want. And I think that the statistic was something like 20% of things just get passed and we don't care about any of them. And then the things that we have like 80 or 90% care for, they get passed at the same rate as the things that we have 5% interest of. But as soon as you skew it to companies, as soon as you go to big companies, the larger the company is, the bigger lobbying they have, right? So the large companies, whatever they care about, those things get passed with a 66% average care, you know, per pass thing. So that's the problem. The bigger a company gets, the more similar it gets to the government, the more decentralized it gets from the people that care about it, and also the less like the original company it is. As soon as you go over, I think it was like, I want to say 1,000 people in one company, mm-hmm. you lose the original vision of the company. And I think the same thing happens with government. But yeah, we can kind of leave this here. I think everybody kind of knows where I stand and you stand on this.
Yeah, I think
that's I totally agree that the voting, the things that we vote for should matter more. And I don't know how to achieve that end. I really don't. I have no idea.
I don't know either. But hey, you know what? Any of you listeners, if you happen to know how to do that, by all means, please do comment or direct message us. If you have any suggestions for future episodes, if you really like this segment, for instance, and would like to hear us talk a little bit longer on some of our segments or on any specific topic, please do comment and let us know. Other than that, I think we pretty much have made our points and our stances pretty clear. So let's go ahead and we'll say cheers again. Thanks for joining us, everyone. And
cheers.
Until next time.